Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We ask for your grace and blessing. We ask that the victorious army of Christ will be infused with every piece of knowledge that they need to triumph and trash the enemy and throw them into the ditch. We thank you for your power and your grace, and we ask that the strength of God will fall on each of us, and that no believer will die for lack of information or be harmed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, today our topic is deliverance, and I'm going to give a bit of a testimony about my experience of living without believing that deliverance was necessary for Christians. And then I'm going to ask Richard to share about the technique and kind of the how-to and the why of deliverance. My early Christian life was very much influenced by a group of people who did not believe that a Christian ever needed deliverance. And that was what I believed. And whenever we were missionaries in France and Tunisia and Morocco and all the ministry that we did there, which was seriously invading the enemy's territory because we were sharing the gospel with Muslims and leading them to Christ, over the 7 years that I was a missionary and engaging in that activity, I myself became more and more oppressed. The way it came out in my life was increasing depression, anxiety, and things like that. And but because I had a prior belief system that there was no such thing as deliverance, I couldn't get any help from that. I want to share a couple of specific instances that were reflective of how that was affecting me. One was in Tunisia, where one day I was walking home from a store with my two little girls, and this man kept following us, and he would stand in front of us, and I knew he was up to something no good, but I had no idea what. And so finally he got in front of us, and then he turned around and he ran right at me. And when he ran at me, all he did is he put his hand on my shoulder. And that was it. And, you know, it seemed kind of weird. But now in retrospect, I realize that the level of my depression, which even brought me to the point of feeling suicidal and thinking about suicide, it began on that day. And later, many years later, when I began to get unraveled from all the oppression, someone who was praying for me, and I told them about that instance, said that, you know, that was a calculated plan of the enemy to impart to me something evil and to put that on me to help hurt me and to try to get me to commit suicide. So, but at the time, because I didn't believe in deliverance or, you know, that demons could hurt Christians, I couldn't be set free from it because, to my way of thinking, there was no such thing. So anyway, I continued to slide down this slippery slope of more and more emotional and mental problems. And by the time we were in Morocco, I was still in that state. And I remember that somebody came to visit us missionaries, and one of the things they wanted to talk to us about was spiritual warfare and how Christians needed at times to have prayer for deliverance. And it's not because you ever can be inhabited by a demon, but you can be oppressed in areas of your soul that are not in alignment with God, where you have negative emotions that you have stored up, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, that when we harbor anger overnight and we give the enemy a chance for a foothold, it's not just anger, any negative emotions harbored can provide a way for the enemy to hold on to us. That's one of the ways that he can hold on to us. So anyway, I still didn't have the conviction that a Christian ever needed to have deliverance because they were being oppressed. And in Morocco, we just had one problem after the other. And even after that, for the next 3 or 4 years when we came home from overseas, I was in such a bad mental and emotional state. Finally, I went and I started to get some inner healing. And that was a big step for me because I also didn't believe in inner healing. And I began to get some help for the negative emotions. And then after I had been doing that about, oh, maybe 9 months or so, a friend of mine told me that she had gone to see a Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor. This person had been a missionary overseas as well, and that he had done some deliverance on her. And I really felt that I should go see him, though I didn't want to because I still didn't believe in it. Well, when I went to see him, I think I went to see him about 3 times. I think he must have cast out hundreds of demons. And immediately, a lot of the psychiatric symptoms that I had been experiencing, paranoid type of thinking, bizarre thinking, just different craziness and emotional problems. They didn't all go away because I still had quite a bit of inner healing to go through, but there was a significant level of some of the worst symptoms leaving me that I had actually been on medications for at one point. So anyway, that began to get my attention, and that it was possible for a Christian to be oppressed and for demons to be afflicting them and giving them a hard way to go. And I somewhat believed that, but I didn't really know how to do spiritual warfare. And then for the next 10 years about, I was involved in an inner healing ministry where we worked with very, very emotionally sick people, and I was under constant attack. It seemed like whenever I was going to do a seminar, something would break in the house, or the kids would get sick, or I would get sick, and I just came to believe that that was normal and acceptable, to always be beat up because you were involved in this spiritual crusade, doing the work of the Lord, and you just had to expect to be beat up. And it wasn't until I met Richard in 1999 that he began to give me another vision of how you could live your life and not always be kicked around by the enemy as you were invading his territory. So Richard, why don't you share with us more about deliverance and how you do it and some of the why.
All right, thanks, Nancy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to outline several important points about deliverance, and then I'm going to model with Nancy's help a prayer. Nancy's going to take the place of the person that we were doing deliverance on, and then we'll just run through it for you so you can actually watch it work, okay? But first, I'm going to give you a little rundown about what we're doing. Number one, huffing and puffing and using a big Moses voice is not necessary, and the more dramatic you make yourself, the more credit you give the devil, who is a defeated foe. And it's almost like shooting a stray dog with a bazooka. You don't need to yell, "Die, you dirty dog, die." You just need to take care of it, okay? So let the drama go, and remember the person in front of you may feel ashamed or ill at ease, and your job is to model Christ's love to them as you use the authority that most believers should have. And this is a little like weightlifting. You can get better at this. Some people are better at this than others, but you will never get better at it until you do it. You'll never get a salvation until you present Christ. You'll never heal anyone until you pray for healing. But all people have the power to at least pray for themselves and their family. If you go beyond that, you need to do so incrementally and find the depth that you're able to go without being hurt or damaged back. You don't need to be afraid at all. I lived almost a charmed life, and I do deliverance 5 days a week, usually. So, in the course of my counseling practice. So, number one, almost all Christians have some level of sin in their life, even if it's sin of omission. And almost all Christians have been traumatized, which means that almost all Christians have at some time or another been oppressed by a demonic force. They're not possessed, but being oppressed is a big problem and can really steal your joy, take your energy, and make you ineffective in the overall work of Christ. So one of the first things we do is we explain to the person that they need to repent for cooperating with anything evil that's hurting them. In many cases, they didn't do a darn thing. People can get a demon from a trauma like having sexual abuse as a child. Of course, they weren't responsible for that. But on the other hand, demons cannot penetrate us unless something else is working. So having them repent just takes away any legal ground the demons has and makes this much easier. I saw something on television once where 8 Christians read the Bible to a demon for 6 hours and managed to cast it out with lots of sweating and yelling. That's not necessary. Demons love attention. They like noise. And the Bible says that the devil knows the scriptures very well. So you don't really need to do that. It's not a good method. So what is a good method? Get the person to repent. That's going to save you a lot of trouble. Understand that you do not need to talk to demons. In other words, if I have a cockroach in my house, I step on it. I don't have a long conversation asking for its lineage, its purpose, and what its name is. I don't need to know that the cockroach name is Ernie. All that's very dramatic, but it's all basically not necessary. I want to explain to you the difference between binding a demon and casting a demon out. When we bind a demon, we are just making it be quiet until it can be dealt with. Demons penetrate people because of some wound or some sin on their part. It's of course, people open them up through sin by drugs, alcohol, pornography, different sexual sins are big doorways for sin. Promiscuity is a big doorway for demons. If we're with a person who is being really mean to us, we don't really have a right to cast a demon out of them, even though they have several, because they have the right of free will to choose to be demonized or to at least choose to be a bad person. But we can bind those demons by saying whenever, let's say Joe is the oppressor who's hurting us, say whenever Joe is in my presence, whenever Joe sees me, whenever he thinks of me, whenever he speaks to me, or speaks to someone else about me, I bind every demon operating in him. Those of you who are in oppressed countries where the government is actually hostile to Christianity, same thing. The government authorities, whenever they think of me, see me, or in my presence, speak to someone else about me, I bind every demon operating in them. This will not make these people perfect people. It will just tone down the level of attack on your life and the vehemence that they're going after you. You can't counsel a demon, and you can't cast out an emotional problem. So you really have to do both, and to be a counselor without the tool of deliverance is really an exercise in frustration, and to be a counselor or a deliverance person who doesn't deal with the emotional doorways, all you're doing, which the Bible talks about clearly, is cleaning the room, casting it out, and then he comes back with all his friends. So you get a nice frisky demon who's not used to you, who thinks it's great fun to torture you some more.
That's right.
So you have to close the door. Demons have no goodwill for us. Never believe the threat of a demon. Sometimes a demon will threaten me and say, I'm going to hurt you and your family. And I just laugh at him and say, you would if you could. You would have done it already. Because there's no goodwill between us. If I find them, I'm going to cast them out. They're going to come after me as hard as they can in the beginning. No, there's no love left. So don't let them threaten you. Most of their power to hurt us has to do with huffing and puffing and scaring us rather than actually hurting us. I have seen demons connected to illness, and that's a serious thing, but they're not allowed to just hop on you and give you cancer. Or believe me, a lot of people such as me would be quite dead by now. So, I want to explain to you that demons are much more like bugs. They travel in hives. The picture of them is suave, sophisticated, sort of a Dracula, James Bond cross, having a blood martini and threatening you is not true. Okay? Now, demons can take different shapes and forms, but they're more like bugs, and they're very stupid. The ones that are bothering us largely are like the Three Stooges. And so don't be afraid of them. One time I saw a demon in a vision, and then I saw it later on in a counseling, and I said, oh, I saw you 2 weeks ago in a vision, and here you are. And we talked for a little while, and you can hear them just like you can in the spiritual world, people communicate. And then I said, well, I'm going to cast you out now. And he went, hey, we're friends. And I said, well, we're not friends. And I cast them out. So this is the level of intelligence that you're dealing with. And you don't need to talk to them, okay, or know their name. Okay. The biggest demons are not allowed to hurt us. There is a group of people that think you should pray against principalities. I've helped many people who have done that, who have been grievously hurt, and it's very hard to get them out of the mess. So it is my belief that that is presumptuous. And while if a demon attacks you here on earth, in other words, if they're on our plane and they don't live in the heavens, they are our meat. We can kill them. We can, killing them is not really the right understanding. We can get them off the playing field forever. And to pray against the principality, the Bible says to judge by the fruit. I've seen terrible fruit from this. So I know there's some people that I respect who say this is a good idea, but I tell you categorically, you do not want to do that. And you should read the book, Needless Casualties by John Paul Jackson. I want to give you just a little hint that there are people who curse other people, men and women, who will just say that they practice witchcraft. And actually, there's many Christians who, under the guise of praying for you, oh God, please make Fred love me and act right and work harder now that he only has two jobs. That is manipulation. So selfish manipulation is witchcraft. Many people who are intercessors get sick and are very proud of it because they think they're fighting the devil. But actually, they're manipulating and reaping consequences. So don't be proud that the devil is kicking your butt. Be worried. You're doing something wrong. A word about witchcraft. So people have the right to choose to be evil, where demons do not really have a right to live here. They're sort of like illegal immigrants. So it's really easier to exercise your authority over their demon than it is over witchcraft or black magic. But what you can do with that is just say, I bless that evil and send it back to its source so that they get hit with their own curses. I'm not going to talk a lot about witchcraft. I just want to tell you that it's out there. Not a big problem, usually. They usually avoid people that have any power at all. So I've talked to many people. Through the years to help them. And Nancy's going to represent one of those people. So, Nancy, you poor beleaguered soul. What is your wretched problem, you repulsive sinner? That is not... You make me sick. No. That is not how we do it.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I was just going to get up and walk out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, but I really hurt you for a minute there, and I made myself feel so good. All right, sister in Christ, I hear that you have a problem with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And we want to lift any kind of demonic hold that is causing you to feel anxious. And we've already talked together about the emotional wounds of an overbearing mother or someone who wouldn't really let you live and be a person. And we've healed some of those wounds. So now we're ready, after we've done the emotional work, to do deliverance. So today I'm going to ask you to repent for cooperating with anything that's hurting you, and then I'm going to do some deliverance, and I'm going to model for you the prayer of how to do deliverance. And there's a book by Pablo Batari, I forget the name, but he did deliverance all during the Argentine Revival. And so for those of you who are listening, look up Pablo Batari, Argentine Revival, and any books that he's written. They're quite good. The Randy Clark Healing Model has a wonderful written part about doing deliverance and healing. I very much recommend that to you. Okay, so Nancy, thank you for filling in. Mm-hmm. All right, would you be willing to repent of cooperating with anything evil that's hurting you?
Yes.
Please do that.
I repent for cooperating with anything evil that's hurting me.
All right. Lord Jesus, please come now and bring forgiveness and cleanse Nancy from everything evil. Get her ready now for deliverance. at this point, I'm going to say, I bind every demon operating in Nancy, and I appoint a new order and authority. So I've kind of tied them up. Appointing a new order and authority is a lot like setting the pins in the bowling alley, where the head demon, they come in hives, so they have like a queen bee, and that's the strongest one. It's sort of like the mafia. So you tie up the chief and put it on the bottom of influence, and then bring one of the stooges up and put it at the top. So you greatly weaken their ability to do anything. And so you say, so I would say then, Lord Jesus, I bind these demons and I ask you to appoint a new order and authority and take them now to the feet of Christ. Okay, what the heck is that? I'm not really qualified to cast something into hell. Hell's kind of big for me. I'm a little kid. So I send them to the feet of Christ, but I will tell you they're very unhappy when they go and they don't come back. So you do not want them wandering around the desert looking for desert campers to jump on. You want them. You want them not only to leave your life, but to leave the earth forever, because they might come back and get you someday. So, and also, of course, you don't want to leave them for other people. So appoint a new order and authority and send them now to the feet of Christ in Jesus' name. I don't need to speak in a voice dramatically. I used to do this in my office with my feet on the desk, and quite often I laugh because it's a joyful occasion to free someone from a demon that's hurting them. And all this drama and stuff you've learned in horror movies is not necessary. It does not move more power to yell in a powerful voice about, be gone, you foul fiend of hell. Largely, that just makes you look important and makes the person feel bad about themselves. Because only Moses could possibly help a wretch like them. So, authority comes from your connection to Jesus Christ, your sense of identity with him, and your own freedom, and to some degree, of emotional problems. Now, not perfect freedom. None of us have that. Your own freedom from the demonic world. And as you do this, you become more and more muscular. So when you begin, just do it for yourself, do it for your immediate family, and let it go at that. Don't go out and put up a shingle, Fred the Demon Killer, okay? You'll be sorry if you do.
I think in the whenever we add on to these classes, teaching people exactly how to do what we do, we'll expand this subject further and give them more information on when you're doing counseling with people and then how that fits in together with the deliverance. And we've touched on it today, but we'll go into more detail on that later.
Yeah, there's a skill. This is a learned skill. Most of it is your connection with Jesus Christ, and he'll give you increments of training, almost like weight training, where you start out with 20 pounds on a bar and then you go to 30, 40. But get it in your head, it's not okay for you to get hurt. It's not okay for you to get slaughtered. You can get a little pain. It's like going to the gym. It's okay for you to be sore when you come home. And it's not okay for you to have a broken shoulder. Okay? And it's not okay for you to just be wiped out.
Okay.
So then we say, we send them to the feet of Christ where Jesus takes care of them, where they're very unhappy. They do not like this. And then we bless the person and sort of seal off the prayer. We cleanse ourselves. We say, Lord, cleanse this room. Cleanse my friend here. And they, quite often people immediately feel a sense of relief. Their problem becomes less problematical.
I want to give a good example of that. And someone that I was mentoring several years ago, we had done a lot of work on working on her emotional problems. She had a lot of anxiety and some depression, and she was doing so much better. And she got to the point where she wasn't having much in the way of symptoms, and she called me up and she said she had just been to visit her sister in another state, and that her sister still had the depression and anxiety that she had had, and after being with her sister for a few days, she started to feel symptoms again of depression and anxiety. So I told her, I said, well, it's possible that there was a demons that got on you through this experience, and we can find out right away if that's true or not. So we did the deliverance prayer, and do you know that all of her symptoms vanished immediately? And it was because she had already dealt with the issues in herself that the demons had held on to, but after being with her sister and making herself open and vulnerable to the sister and the connection with her, then there were demons that were trying to find more ground in her and oppress her. But because there wasn't the ground there like there used to be, it was very easy to get rid of them at that point. But her symptoms went away. And I know when I first met Richard and we were mentoring each other by phone, he was here in Georgia and I was still in Pittsburgh, I would have times where I felt upset or oppressed and he would pray deliverance, and the things I was experiencing vanished immediately. And so again and again, I've seen that happen, not just for myself, but for the many people over the years that I've helped. And it really does work. And that's an easy way to find out if something is demonic. And then if the person doesn't feel better, then you know that there could still be a demonic element, but then there's more emotional work to do. Over the years, as you're working with this, you have to grow in discernment and in hearing the Lord's voice, because, you know, there's the emotional element, there's a demonic element, there's a witchcraft element. Sometimes there's things coming at the person from their generational heritage, and, you know, you have to grow in discernment and being able, like, what I don't agree with is people who have this, like, one formula for everything. We call that a one-shot wonder in some ways. And they just have one formula to address every problem. Everything is a deliverance problem. Everything is a counseling problem. Everything is a generational problem. And they have these canned prayers to deal with all situations. And I don't recommend that, because we are people who need different things in different seasons and different amounts.
The thing is, you need to learn to love. You need to learn to see. God will show you what's good about the person. So don't get all tangled up in deliverance like, ta-da, the person's all fixed. The wonder and the beauty that God has put in each person has to be brought forward. And that you can speak as well. And the more you get to see, the more the beginner sees what's wrong with a person. And they come up and tell them something very obvious. And doesn't really do anything to help them. Where as you learn to see more deeply, you see the beauty and the power of what's in a person, what they could do with a little help. And it's like sprinkling Miracle-Gro on them. So the devil wants you to stare at him. He loves attention. Think of a spoiled child. It's just love, love, love to be paid attention to and made important. They're really not that important. Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Another dynamic I want to mention is how I've worked with people over the years, some of whom come from a similar background to me, that they don't believe that demons are there. And when I first start working with them, and we're just working on emotional woundings and things like that, you know, and I, you know, there's a level of trust that you build with a person that you're mentoring and helping. And when they get to the point where they really trust me, and I say, "Will you trust me that I know you need some deliverance here, even if you don't feel anything when we're doing it?" And I know this one woman I was working with, she had had a very traumatic birthing experience. She had been a C-section, and there were some difficulties when she was being delivered, and I really felt there were a lot of demons around that trauma in her, and we had to do some emotional work about things that were going on in her family and things like that. So anyway, we just did deliverance on her, and she never felt anything, and I could tell things were leaving her, but she never felt anything, and she was someone who had never believed in spiritual gifts, or, you know, a person can have oppression. And within about 3 months of continuing to do the deliverance and the emotional work, she began to prophesy, she began to have visions, she began to feel the Lord's presence and to hear his voice, and it just really opened up to her. But what I remember happening is, as she began to be open to spiritual things, all of a sudden there were the demons, instead of staying hidden and quiet, it's like they were manifesting themselves. Like, what they'll do is, their best choice is to stay hidden and silent and just be there affecting a person. But then when you start to challenge their territory and go after their footholds in the person and the reason they can be there, then sometimes they'll up the activity. And, you know, the person will have some kind of demonic manifestation to pressure them. Have you ever seen that? That when you put pressure on ones that have been hidden, then all of a sudden they start to show themselves
more? It reminds
more.
Me of the submarine movies. You know, you throw the depth charge down there and the submarine will fire off a torpedo and this and the other. But the idea, they're had it. You have to realize that they are a defeated foe. We're the winners. I do want to put a little qualifier into something I've said. There are Christians around the world who truly have my heart and my admiration, who suffer for Christ because they have to. I expect to wait on them in heaven. But most of the suffering we do here in America and in much of the world is unnecessary and serves the enemy. It doesn't really serve God's purpose and God's glory. There are martyrs for Christ today. And they release a tremendous blessing into the world through what they do. But just being stupid is not releasing a blessing into the world.
And this fits in with this whole four living creatures teaching that we've been talking about, is that as you go in the flow of the Holy Spirit, there will be times when God will call you to do the ox, and that may be may involve some suffering and renunciation of yourself. But that's not all there is. There are places, this is the school of the lion here, there are places for ruling, prevailing, taking charge, and just kicking the enemy's butt. And as we grow in the Lord, we want to grow in that whole repertoire of as the Holy Spirit would lead us, then we know when the time is. I mean, the people that are suffering for their faith the world over, they really are doing the ox.
We're largely, to be balanced in the lion makes life pretty much fun. And I always say I try to teach my counselees to be the afflictors instead of the afflicted and to win at life. And God wants you to win at life. He wants you to have influence, power, authority without being caught up in it. In other words, he wants to be the object of your affection. But being a child of God is a big thing, and it's a joyful thing. And if you're living in oppression and misery and everything goes wrong for you, there's a chance that you're doing several things wrong and you may need deliverance. So don't rule that out of your life. You'll be sorry if you do.
One thing I have somebody I've been working with recently who's had severe anxiety. And for the first time ever, he's beginning to address some of the abuses and neglect that he had early on in life. And one thing that I told him to do, because I taught him this deliverance prayer, is I said, when you start to feel your anxiety rising, the first thing I want you to do is to say this little deliverance prayer on yourself, just to make sure it's not something trying to afflict you that we've already dealt with the ground. If after you do the deliverance prayer, you still are feeling the anxiety, then I want you to pray and ask the Lord to show you if there is something that's being triggered in you from things that are not yet healed that you need to address. And by doing it that way, you sort of first eliminate if this is just simply demons trying to oppress me. And then if that doesn't do the trick, then you can go to the second thing is, okay, now why do they have this foothold and why am I feeling the way I do? What are the emotions that need to be helped here? Okay.
We're going to end with a prayer. We ask that the energy and love of Jesus Christ will open all of your eyes to see the work of the enemy. That was God calling Nancy. He doesn't really talk to me very often, but he loves to talk to her. And so we want to bless you today and let the love of the Lord make you victorious and strong. And you don't need to flex your muscles all the time if you're really strong. Just remember that. The truly tough people of the world, special forces, policemen, they don't flex their muscles all the time. They just do the job. And become workmen. Study to be approved. And become workmen who are approved. You need to be the lion so that this world can live in the power and the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.
How about pray an impartation over people?
Oh, that's a good idea.
For, better discernment, better ability to hear God's voice, and to be able to grow in this area.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Lord Jesus, I release now, and I share with anyone you want to share it with in a way that's good for them, my ability to see and hear. And I ask that you will share the authority I have over the demonic world with each person. And, of course, anyone here who's able to go beyond me, I encourage you to do that. But be careful when you're doing it. Lord Jesus, let the energy and love of the Lord come and make each one the maximum they can be in your presence. You release your power and your grace on each person and share your magnificence with each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.